James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy? Why are you struggling with your headphones?
Nothing. I just want to turn them up because I can't hear you. That's hard to believe.
Because I was whispering. If you can't hear me, you need like a cochlear implant or something like that.
What?
Cochlear implant.
A cochlear implant? Did he say that right?
No. I don't know. Is that fancy word for permanent hearing aid? Is that?
I think it's the snail-shaped like bone in your ear.
That's impressive. Isn't it right?
Like that? Wow.
Probably turned out to be part of like your toenail or something.
I learned that in sixth grade.
You would know that because you've probably blown a number of them out of your coworkers.
Maybe that's it. Maybe yes. that.
Well,
that
I can hear you now.
Yes, and
despite all those Van Halen shows, I still have something left in my ears.
How was your game last night? I heard it was a barn burner.
Wow, a barn burner is not what it was. I felt so bad for them. They had a great crowd. It was senior night for the Colchester girls, and I was doing the game on our sister station down in Middlebury, and It was over immediately. It was like 10-0 after a minute. It was 27-0 at one point.
27-0.
And here second quarter, like, come on back for all the excitement. It's 27-0.
Slow down. Who's winning 27-0?
Mount Abraham down in Bristol.
They're winning.
They have a really good girls basketball team this year.
Not if I was coaching. I just wanted to know.
I don't care how good you are, but 27-0?
I felt really bad. There was
that was in the final.
The final was 55-18. But
they made a comeback.
I felt bad because Colchester has this really good player, Gabby Goslin, who's like a star at everything, and she had a concussion in like the sixth or seventh game of the year, and she never played again. So they lose 25 points just losing her. But it was a long day at Colchester High yesterday.
Did they call off the press at 27-0? Or did they go press?
You know what?
Press.
No, they didn't, and that's how they scored all their points. No.
They didn't call off the press at
27-0? Well, not yet. I mean, once it got to like 40-3, I think they did.
I don't think I would have called it off either.
But I mean, it's funny because you're sitting there, and I'm sure maybe not you, Arnie, but you've done a little play-by-play.
Yeah.
You ever have games where it's just like, this isn't going to work well?
The worst game I did a high school girls game once that got pretty lopsided. As far as like college goes or anything, I never had one that was like that bad. Yeah. I might have had like a hockey game that was like, I think I had a hockey exhibition where Oswego won like 8-1 or something. Yeah. But other than that, that was about it.
Well, I would think hockey would be. I mean, I think hockey's the toughest thing to do play-by-play anyway. But if you're down 4, anyone's down 4-0 after 1, it's like, ugh.
That's when it becomes Brady Farkas story time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I only did play-by-play for the local cable station up in Los Angeles when I got out of school.
Is there any access to that? Can we hear that?
I could look for it, but I was just happy. I looked into it because we happened to cover LMU, Loyola Marymount, and it's when it had Bo Kimble, Hank Gathers, Jeff Fryer, and boy, that was a fun team to do some play-by-play on.
Can you imagine trying to do play-by-play for that team?
And I'm horrible at it to begin with.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be exhausted after half of
game. That was the year they beat Michigan and got to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8 or something like
that.
Yeah,
every game was like 126-124. Yeah.
Maybe even more than that. Oh. They were just they were a lot of fun to watch.
But anyway, hang in there, Colchester. They're really not a bad team. They were just missing some players, and they had a long day yesterday over at the high school.
Think we should be able to coach one of the games. I don't understand. Yeah. I may play for Binghamton tonight.
You may be able to.
Well, actually, I have a Binghamton T-shirt. I'm thinking about getting onto the court and see if anybody notices. I throw on the goggles.
Why would they be able to tell?
Well, you know what's so funny? You're laughing at this. Yeah. You're laughing. But I was watching video yesterday of a guy that was wearing sweats of the opposing team, and he just kind of moseyed out onto the court, started warming up, and the ball boy started giving him the ball, and he started shooting. And he was shooting right next to the guy that was on the team, and the guy didn't even look twice at him.
Wow.
But then when he started shooting, like one-handed and stuff. Like, wait a minute here, what's going on?
Can you imagine Arnie out there with a high school team or something? Shall we call him follically challenged and a little bit of a belly? It might be kind of noticeable.
No, I think I'd get away for it in college. I look more like a college student to do something like that.
By the way, our game is tomorrow night at 9 o'clock.
Yes, 9 o'clock tomorrow.
You better show up since last time you did it.
But we have too many people now. We have like 8 guys, right?
Well, we only ever have five.
Yeah, but now we're going to have like seven or eight.
I don't know. I haven't gotten a group message in a while. Do they kick me off the group message?
I haven't gotten one either, but I'm thinking that's going to cut into my playing time. I'm not very happy about that. So
he just won't show up.
We're better off with you getting 7 minutes.
We're 5-2 with me on the team, 0-2 when I don't show up. Right. So.
And clearly they lost because you weren't there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Trimboli wouldn't have scored 54 if you'd been there.
No. He wouldn't have, and whatever he would have scored, it would have been with a black eye after I threw that elbow at his eye. No matter what he would have scored, he would have walked away bloody.
I got to tell you, you can't throw an elbow at someone if you can't get within 10 feet of him.
Well, in our league, you can. You wait till they shoot foul shots, and you accidentally elbow them in the eye.
But anyway, big night tonight. Psych for trivia.
Yes, yes, you are. My wife was writing the questions to like midnight last night.
Yeah, she came running in this morning and said, oh, they're so easy. Yeah. Or do it in your voice.
Yeah, she dumped it. It's easy. But you know what bothers me? She asks me while I'm watching TV last night. I'm trying to watch Law and Order or something. I'm like, don't ask me the trivia. You know,
Benson's going for another case.
Yeah, and she's going to catch the bad guy. I haven't seen this one yet. I go, leave me alone. I'm trying to watch the Law and Order.
Aren't they all the same, basically?
Well, for the most part. But
yes,
you never know.
It's kind of like Scooby-Doo. You know, there's a bad guy.
Those meddling kids.
They figure it out, yeah. And then the show ends.
I don't need to hear 3,000 trivia questions just to cut it down to 40. And then she goes, what about this one? And then I give her one. I don't like that one. So, you know, it's just nauseating to listen to her type of way on
trivia. She said a lot of them are going to involve hockey and beer. And I thought, well, okay.
Now she's screaming at you because I'm sure you just gave away something. Yeah, you just
good. Let's make it a little easier. Give these poor people a chance.
Out of 8 questions, you should only be getting like 4 right, 4 to 5 right at the most. I mean, people are not that smart. What? I mean, come on now. That's just the way. That's the way.
Well, 7:30 to 9:30 tonight at City Sports Grill. I'll be hosting, and I want to see it packed. Let's go.
All right, Brady. What's coming up on the show tonight? What's going on?
Well, remember Friday. Also, we're broadcasting live from Goodwater Brewery. Yeah. That's in Williston on Marshall Ave. As for what's coming up today, Mel Kiper Jr. thinks the Giants won't take a quarterback with that number 2 pick. The Yankees with a very interesting trade. We'll get to in 10 minutes. USA Canada tonight on the women's side for the gold medal in women's hockey. We'll get you ready for UVM Senior Night. But first, J.D. Martinez, he is officially in camp with the Red Sox, physical today, so this baby is done.
Wow.
Is it?
So are the Yankees.
I'm sorry I didn't hear you. J.D. Martinez or Babe Ruth? I'm sorry I didn't. Because the way you're acting, it's like Babe Ruth is coming.
Oh, you mean
the
guy who had better numbers than Babe Ruth last year?
He's coming in. Babe Ruth is coming. This guy's going to be better than Ohtani. Wait till you see.
Oh, my gosh. Ohtani? Really?
I just love that. It just goes to show you if that's all you have. The hype around this guy is just – the Yankees didn't give Stanton that much hype getting him than what we're giving Martinez, to be honest with you.
Well, I think the Yankees are still better than the Red Sox. And I was listening to Evan Drellick of NBC5 – or NBC Sports Boston, rather. I was listening to him talk today to Mad Dog Russo on the MLB Network, and he still thinks that the Yankees are better than the Red Sox. And I do as well. But if you want to close that gap, this is the way to do it, not only because of what Martinez personally does – and I anticipate him putting up really good numbers in that ballpark, but also just the impact he has on the rest of the lineup around him. What the Red Sox lacked last year was not only a lack of power overall, but a lack of protection for anybody in the order. And you're going to start to get back some of that David Ortiz effect with Martinez this year. That I think, aside from his personal numbers, I think that's one of the biggest side projects of this signing.
Do you worry about Martinez smashing the ball into that wall and balls that would have been out of Chase Field last year that are just not going to go out of Fenway? Loft, in other words.
The thing that I worry about is that I think Martinez is a really, really good hitter to all fields, and he really plays towards hitting the ball in the right center field gap. And
that's a big gap there.
That is not the place that you want to hit the ball out at Fenway. Hitting the ball to right center as a righty, if you're talking about home runs, that's not where you want to go. You want to go down the left field line.
But there's a lot of space out there heading into right center. I mean, I get the feeling this guy, everybody's talking about 50 home runs. And, I mean, last year was ridiculous what he did in Phoenix in Arizona. But I feel like I think 50 doubles is more likely. I just feel like he's going to hit a lot of shots that would go out of any park but Fenway off that green monster.
I have a question. Why do I get more text on my favorite ice cream than I do about the Red Sox signing Martinez? I'm just kind of curious because I have not, and since this has been going on for about 3 days now, or even about a week since we've been talking about it, how many texts do you think we got that said, oh, please, baseball gods, give us Martinez. And then people all of a sudden like sending us emojis with the smiley face and all that stuff. Have we even gotten one text where somebody said, yes, this is what we needed? I mean, seriously.
Yes.
Just one. That's all I'm at. Because if we had one, I must have missed it. That's all.
We did, and they came on Monday.
Yeah. Okay, well, these, because I'll say, what's your favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor? I'll get 10 right now. So
yeah, but that piques people's interest.
No,
more.
But
I mean,
you know what?
There's a million different answers.
If you would
have
signed Stanton, how many do you think you would have gotten? We wouldn't be able, it would be like a slot machine on the Town Fair Tire text line. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Well, let's think. How many did we get when Stanton announced he was coming to New York? I mean, we were on the show.
Well, since he got traded there, I don't think it was that many. It was different because there wasn't the anticipation. The Stanton thing came out at nowhere. It didn't come out of nowhere because we thought maybe they were going to trade Stanton, but the destination was unknown. The trade facilitated at the last moments. I think we're talking about apples and oranges
so
here.
I'm just wondering, we have a lot of Red Sox fans, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. I mean, are you over-the-top happy that they got Martinez? Is it just no big deal whatsoever at all, and you could care less because you still think you're so far behind the Yankees that you're not even going to come close to winning a World Series? Or maybe you're like, I don't even know who the hell really Martinez is. Only had a year and a half of good big numbers out there. No, I can't really. He was on the West Coast with Arizona before he was after he was with Detroit, right?
Yeah, he's with Houston. Detroit.
Maybe some people don't even know who the hell he is out here in the East Coast. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have that cachet.
Yeah, you know what? The whole part about him not making any difference is ridiculous, but the last part, what you just said, is true. I don't think anybody in Boston or in New England in general knows what to make of this, because he did most of his damage last year in a place that absolutely no one pays attention.
Yeah.
They get no national coverage.
None.
Their game's into 2:00 in the morning and nobody noticed.
Yeah, but number one, he played in the playoffs. I think that helps. But number two, he spent the years prior to that in Detroit, sandwiched around Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera, two of the most productive hitters of the last decade.
Yeah, I just felt like he didn't have a year like he had last year in Detroit up until a couple of years ago. It didn't jump out at me as, oh, let's get that guy.
And as much as I rail on one, gambling, and two, fantasy, we talk about, how does everyone know who everyone is in football? Well, a lot of the answer is because of gambling and fantasy.
That's true.
People play fantasy baseball all the time. You know J.D. Martinez's name if you've played fantasy. Well, I had him on my team last year.
Right.
I know that.
Well, one reason they worry about him in fantasy is because he hasn't been able to stay healthy for three of the last 4 years, and that certainly is a concern for Red Sox fans forward.
Not even just so much about fantasy. I'm just wondering if even the casual or the diehard Red Sox fans, are they
great news?
Like, is anybody going to run out now and said, what number is he? I got to get that jersey.
28.
Will not be wearing 28.
I thought they said 28.
I thought he was going to get 28, and Cora was going to have to change numbers for something.
Don't mess with the manager's number.
I mean, I bet you more people are excited about Sale coming here. Am I wrong about
that? Yeah, well, I bet he's just happy to get away from the most hideous uniforms in all of sports, the Diamondbacks away jerseys and pants and cleats.
So I'm still waiting for my first Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, on somebody really excited about Martinez.
Which somebody just send it to shut him up.
Martinez is going to wear 28. Cora was wearing 28, so he's going to have to change numbers. Look, we made a big deal yesterday about David Price's comments about, you're going to get booed in Boston. Well, Price also opened up on Martinez, the player, how hard he works, et cetera. Here's a little bit of what Price had to say about his new teammate.
Great teammate, great player, obviously. Tons of power, being with him in Detroit, in 2014 and the first half of 15, and just watching the way he swung the bat, just power to all fields. He really took after Miggy's approach whenever he was in Detroit, and that did wonders for him. He's going to drive the ball to right field, right center. If a pitcher makes a mistake with a breaking ball, he's going to hit that to left field. So it's fun to watch. He's a great dude. He's a really good acquisition.
Wow, David Price talking to the media every day.
Look, I like what he said there about drive the ball to all fields, because that's something that's lost. And in a time of where everything is just about putting up home runs, and where it does seem like the only offense is homer or strikeout, the best mode of offense is, hey, let's just open up our front foot and spin as hard as we can on the ball and try to jack it out to left field. I like hearing about a guy who hits to all fields. But to your point, Rich, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up this year with more doubles than homers.
Yeah.
So I think if he's going to pepper right center, he's going to end up with more extra bases than round trippers. Right.
Well, if he's going to hit 32 home runs and hit 50 doubles, that's fine with me. I'm all right with that, as long as he drives in a bunch of runs in the middle of that lineup.
Gosh, I hate the nitpick. I really do.
No, you don't.
Do it anyway.
But I'm going to say it anyway. As I was listening to the bite of David Price talking about his new teammate, all I could think of is, dude, show me a little enthusiasm. Yeah, he's a good teammate. You know what? Give me something that sounds that you're really excited. Like, if I'm trying to fix you up on a date, Rich, I go, oh my God. Yeah, you're going to like her. She's
that would
attractive.
Be exciting.
I, when I not say, Rich, you're going to like her, man. She's smart. She's this. I mean, she'll...
smart.
But if I just go, well, Rich, you're going to like her. She's
smart.
She's pretty. you know, she can be fun. So, you know, you'll have a good time. Show me a little damn enthusiasm when you're talking about a new teammate. I don't understand.
If you were going to talk about a prospective date like that, I'd wonder why didn't you want to do it.
That's my whole point. I mean, am I wrong to pick on Price?
I'd be too nervous to respond.
He's a good, you know, they hit the ball the right.
You know, him and Victor would hit all day long. You know, that's Victor was the DH and JD was, you know, playing right field, and they would get there to the field early, you know, hit in the cage, go off for early BP. Early BP would be over. They'd go back to the cage. Then we'd have regular BP, and then they'd be in the cage again before the game. You know, he takes a lot of swings. He's always working. He's got, you know, different drills, and he turned himself into a really good hitter.
Was that exciting enough for
not
him?
Really.
Was he yelling? Was he dancing? Singing?
I don't even think he knew who he was talking about. I think he was just saying that about it. You could put any name in there. Insert name here. I could have said, what about Arnie Spanier? He has different drills. He does a good hitter.
You know what, Arnie?
Wait, who are we talking about again? Who are we talking about?
These people, these baseball players, are taught this from the time they're 10 years old to talk like this. And I mean, just dealing with the Connecticut Tigers all last summer, they acted like that's just not an exciting thing. They're doing exactly the same thing every single day. They're getting the microphone stuck in their face every single
day. Would you
day
talk like that
with
if
the same old questions?
If Kershaw was joining the team, would you have the same attitude? I'm just kind of curious.
I don't know, probably.
Oh, stop it. Eric and Fletcher said if I'll let you know after the first 20 games to see how productive he is.
And thank you, Eric. Thank you, Trevor, Brian, Glenn, for shutting Arnie up.
Travis in Milton says, I think it's a very good signing. Let me take my glass off. And they didn't overpay for him, needed some pop in the lineup, and this does it. So he's right about that. Trevor in St. Albans, I wouldn't say that nobody's excited. I'd say as a Sox fan, we knew the Sox had to do something, and this is the point. It's more about time move than needed to be. So
needed to be done, and in the end would have happened either way.
Oh, it was a two-parter?
Yeah.
Ah, damn, I hate the two-parters. I hate that one. Well, then read the one from Glenn in Moncton real quick, too, since he sent that in there.
Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez, and Pablo Sandoval. There are three reasons why the Red Sox fans haven't gone all gaga yet. He gets a few games as a Red Sox, then we'll be more inclined to show emotion.
Great point. Absolutely.
Plus, what are we, 6-7 weeks away from the season? I mean, I was very excited, and now we can just settle in and wait for the season to start.
We are 5 weeks
five
away.
5 weeks.
I thought it was 5 months. Really? Is it that 5 weeks? That's incredible.
Arnie's already excited about Arizona's spring football game. But
yes,
we're,
I am.
Is this what last summer was like? You just poo-pooed baseball all summer long?
No, I was a little bit more excited for the Red Sox because they had a better team.
Better team than what?
Yeah. Better team now. They're like the seventh favorite to go to the World Series.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, they are actually
seventh.
Yeah, I would say they're about the seventh favorite to go to the World Series. I'll look at you. Think you?
No, I think they're about probably fifth.
No,
Houston, no. Yankees,
Dodgers,
L.A.,
Cubs, Indians,
Nationals.
They might not even be the seventh.
I think they're above. By the way, I think they're above Cleveland at this point.
Okay, they could be.
The Martinez signing probably moves them up one or two, but we'll see what happens.
All right,
I love it.
Brady, what do we got coming up next segment, Brady?
Coming up next, we'll talk about the Yankees' big move. I think it's a big move with some big ramifications. We'll get into that. And the Boston Bruins with you talk about breaking a slump. They did that yesterday.
All right, all that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. On 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. How about that as a guess, too? The Red Sox are the seventh favorite for World Series. So that was a complete guess. But
I still think they're better than Cleveland.
But then who would you – so you would have said that six then?
I would have them above Cleveland.
Depends on the health of the pitching staff.
Yeah, give or take. I would have said six or seven. Wouldn't have made that much of a difference. But you can get them at 18-1. That's a pretty good odds, actually, if you think they're going to make the World Series.
Well, right now with the Sox, you look at that batting order and you go if on almost all of them.
Yeah, you can say that about everything.
Because they've been so good at times of their career. Bogarts, Betts, Benintendi's a pretty sure thing, but – Bradley. What are you going to get out of all those guys next year? What's Hanley Ramirez? There's so many questions offensively. But if they all have years that you'd expect out of them, that seems going to score a lot of runs.
Now, who did the Yankees get? They get Kershaw or what? Who else did they get?
The Yankees got Brendan Drury. Does that make you happy?
Another guy nobody's Brandon heard Drury, of because right. He plays for Arizona.
Yeah, well, because he just, even Brady's like, excuse me, Brandon Drury. I was looking him up. Here's a guy. I'm kind of curious why they get rid of him, Brady. What's the story behind that? I know he strikes out a lot. Or at least I think he does like once every 4.5 at bats. By the way, where do you stand on strikeouts? Is that a big deal now or no, not anymore?
It's not that big a deal anymore. It's still a big deal to me. They didn't get rid of Drury because he stinks. They got rid of Drury because they acquired Steven Souza and they needed an outfielder because they lost Martinez.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with the strikeouts or anything like that?
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Because nowadays people tolerate that. If you strike out once every 4 at bats, it's
common now that, it's part of the game more than ever.
It bothers the hell out of me. Not advancing a runner, but that's, I don't want to sound like Brady on that one.
Well, look, Drury, if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm happy about this. He's got some pretty good numbers. What do you have, 60, 70 RBI last year for a team that, they put up some numbers, obviously, when you're batting ahead of Goldschmidt in the lineup.
Well, he had 13 homers last year, 16 the year before that.
Look, he's got some pop.
I love this move for a couple of different reasons, but it doesn't come without questions.
Young and inexpensive.
Yeah, right. He's young and inexpensive. That's number one why I love it. He's 25 years old. He's a major league ready player, and he's not a rent-a-player. He's a guy who's got 4 years of team control left. He's arbitration again, and then he's got team control and then 3 years of arbitration. I love that this guy is going to be around for a while. He offers you positional flexibility. He can play second, third, or the outfield. He can give you a lot of different options. My biggest question is, you have two top prospects that are waiting to come up that we thought are going to be ready to play on opening day. Now, you're going to be blocking one of them, and you're going to be blocking one of them potentially for a significant amount of time. So it's probably going to be Drury plays third, and Gleyber Torres, the number one prospect in baseball, plays second. And then Andujar, the guy we've heard about to play third, he's not now got no room this year or for the foreseeable future.
Right, and the thing is you draw a fine line between infield depth and stopping someone from moving forward and blocking someone. So, you look at his numbers, he's pretty good. He's a 260-ish hitter who strikes out a lot, but he's definitely got some power. And he's better defensively than Chase Headley. I think defensively, he's a step up. Headley struggled defensively. So, as far as Andujar goes, we'll see. I think you're right. I think Torres stays and plays, and I think Andujar's ready. The talk I heard from various New York Yankee folks was that Andujar is not quite ready defensively.
No, he's not quite ready defensively. He's 22 years old, but you're still blocking him for you're talking about 4 years now where he's blocked behind just Drury alone, and you're not getting rid of Gregorius, and you're not getting rid of Torres. So I wonder then, does that mean, the Yankees just deal from their prospect depth again, trade Andujar and go and get a starting pitcher or something? And Arnie, this is what you rail against me on this, but when I tell you I want the Red Sox to have prospects and I want them to have a lot, I want these problems that the Yankees have. I want these issues where you have two top prospects.
Well, they went out and got him. They didn't have him.
Okay, so they went and traded players to get prospects. No matter how you look at the same thing with Torres. They traded Aroldis Chapman to get Torres.
Well, when I said trade Jackie Bradley Jr. yesterday, you jumped on my throat.
Because Jackie Bradley Jr. is not going to fetch you
but
a lot.
But he's going to fetch you a lot of prospects. But like you said, he has, 3 years left on a low-term contract.
Yeah, I still don't think he's going to give you a Gleyber Torres in return. But regardless, that's beside the point.
Right.
So they have these prospects. They're overrun with Torres and Andujar and these guys. And then they have so many of them that they can trade Andujar if they want to, and it doesn't cripple the farm system. You want to trade away every last prospect the Red Sox have.
If these prospects are so good, why are you trading any of them away? If each one of these prospects is the next 20-game winner, 300 hitter, 50 home run, 100-something RBI, I'm not trading any of them away. But you guys are dealing them like it's hands in poker. Give him this and that.
No, but the guys they gave up are a couple. I remember them. They were Staten Island Yankees, and they were extremely good at Staten Island. They were good at the next level.
What is that, single A?
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying that you see a kid with an 0.40 ERA in 27 appearances at any level, and that's attractive to them. That kid Solak hit pretty well last year at high A. Taylor Widener was very good last year, but it's all in A, so who knows? But, they didn't have to give up much of anything because they've got so much still left. If you're going to give up Andujar, who was the number 54 prospect in baseball, You'd better get something in return, I would think, as maybe a starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's what I would want if I were the Yankees, and that's what I need if I'm the Yankees. But because you have spent so much time retooling this farm system over the last 2.5, 3 years, you're able to do this kind of stuff. The Red Sox have nobody to trade.
But they did 3-4 years ago, and that's where you get Chris Sale, et cetera.
Right, I mean, but now you, because you haven't replenished anything, you have nothing left.
Right.
The Red Sox are what they are, and they have no prospects to call on, and they have no prospects to deal from to go and get other major league-ready pieces at the trade deadline if they need to. The Yankees could keep Andujar in AAA and then trade him at the deadline if they want to. That's the kind of flexibility that having a good free agent or a good farm system brings you. As, again, back to Drury himself, in that lineup, in that hat box of a ballpark, I think he's going to be great. I love what he brings to the team.
Yeah, he feels like an eight. I mean, he's a serviceable eight or nine hitter.
Yeah, an 8 or 9 hitter in that lineup, but he's a 6 hitter in another lineup.
Right, so he's going to end up with about 90 runs batted in that lineup, especially at the bottom of the order.
You want to get him the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. I didn't even really think much about it. I saw the trade, and I'm like, didn't even get a rise out of me because I just assumed that anything the Yankees do are just going to explode, and they're going to win. I think they've already clinched the division. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to double-check that.
And the other thing with Torres and Andujar is service time. I mean, if you send, you know, you can mess around a little bit now and give them a little bit of time, and I know the Yankees of all teams probably don't care about saving a dollar here and there, but that matters a little bit as to when they bring him up to the major leagues.
Well, it wouldn't save a dollar. It would just save a full year of team control.
Right, I understand that. And that, with a guy especially like Andujar at his age, could be huge. But we'll see. I mean,
are we going now to a game this year, by the way? Are the Mets in town? Did the Mets come into town?
The Mets will always play the Yankees. You're talking about the Red Sox?
I'm talking about the Red Sox, yeah. Are the Mets coming into town so we can go to, we'll take the boss's tickets and go get liquored up and go have some fun down there?
On him, yes.
Of course. That's how I take the...
September 14th through 16th.
I can't wait that long.
Didn't you do...
I can't wait that long.
Did you do that last year, or did they skip it because I wasn't there to drink all the beer?
I don't remember.
You guys go with the boss to Fenway?
No.
I think Brady went, but I wasn't invited.
I didn't go with the boss.
It wasn't in the budget?
Maybe the boss went with some 3 other people instead of us. I don't know.
Trust me, I'm surprised the boss has continued to send us down there because that takes a serious hit out of his budget.
Oh, I could imagine. We're talking about some serious zeros at the end of that bill with you.
Jess and I went to Mariners Red Sox.
Oh, that's right. You went down there.
Yeah, but we didn't go with the boss. We just went.
Oh, you took their tickets, though?
No, we did not.
Oh, wow. Did you call the Red Sox and say, hey, do you know who I am? I need some tickets. Definitely would have pulled the PowerPoint on that.
I did get to introduce myself to some people and see some offices at Fenway, but that's about it.
There you go.
They would have said, I've heard of Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah.
That's about as
far as I have not heard of Brady Farkas.
I think I'll go down this year.
Star for us, Wego.
By the way, what a boring drive through New Hampshire that was to get to Fenway.
Wow. Making fun of the drive.
It's not making fun of. I almost fell asleep driving through, except for the Taco Bell we stopped at on the way back.
And the McDonald's at the Warner exit. Got to have it.
Taco Bell in New Hampshire. I don't remember what city it was, but I remember we stopped there. Probably.
Yep. Right over the border.
We'll go down with some of the listeners. I'll drive. All right. We'll just pile into my car and we'll stick like 30, 40 people in there. We'll have to sit on some laps and stuff like that. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
That sounds safe.
Your Bruins won yesterday. You're happy about that. Good come from behind victory.
I sound tired today. Stayed up late, although that's great. I love it with Edmonton because the game started at 9, which is relatively early until the alarm goes off at 4 a.m. But unbelievable. They get goals from a couple of fourth liners, and then Krejci finishes it off with 1.5 minutes to go.
He does.
You raise your hands
through the check of Kajula in front. Krejci scores! David Krejci puts the Bruins ahead with 1:04 to go.
1:04, okay. And I want to apologize to the neighbors for the late night outburst.
Have they caught Tampa? They're still, what,
one point. Tampa won last night, but they're right there.
Right, 2 in hand, 2 games in hand.
They've got 2 games in hand, absolutely. That back-to-back in Alberta was unbelievable. How they ever went, Tuukka completely stole the game against Calgary, and then last night they just dominated the game from the start but couldn't score until it mattered most.
And how about the fact, get this, so they trailed 2-0 at the start of the third period. Entering Tuesday, the Bruins were winless in each of their last 43 games when trailing by at least 2 goals after 2 periods. The second longest active streak of this type the Canadians have lost 57 games when trailing by two or more, you know, after two.
I never thought I'd say this in my lifetime, but I almost am starting to feel sorry for the Habs. They are so awful. They have no offense.
And they were in the playoffs just a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, they are just awful right now. They just went on a – I don't think they won a single game on that road trip. They're ahead by a goal in Philadelphia. They're finally going to win last night with about a minute and a half left. Boom. Philly scores. Voracek gets a goal, and then minute and a half into overtime, he scores again. Carey Price has been absolutely awful this year. I have no idea what's going on with him.
Not worth that eight-year deal they gave him. Yeah.
Or that number one pick in my fantasy draft.
Who has a better chance of winning the Bruins Stanley Cup or the Red Sox World Series?
Oh, absolutely the Bruins.
Yeah, do you want to know? Matter of fact, Bruins may be the best team in the NHL. Matter of fact, according to Las Vegas, the Bruins are the third favorite to actually win right behind Tampa. And Vegas. Matter of fact, Vegas is 7-1. Bruins are 8-1. That hasn't even been updated. Yeah. They may be the best team in the NHL right now.
I mean, I may live to regret this, but I can't take Vegas seriously. This can't really
be
happening.
I kind of agree with you on that also.
This can't be happening.
Yeah, that I'm not sure how it quite is. I had a lot of questions, especially goaltending.
Well, no, they've got Marc-Andre Fleury
in goal.
Yeah, but
when they got him at the beginning.
But that's
all they have. Exactly.
I mean, it's basically all just the cast-offs from the other teams. They're fourth liners. And they never lose. It's unbelievable. But I've got to believe that Cliff is waiting for them at some point.
And I also start to wonder about the – when I really started digging into the trade deadline, which comes up on the 26th, which is Monday at like 3 o'clock, we're all talking about, oh, are the Bruins going to go and get McDonough? Are they going to go and get Rick Nash? Are they going to go and get any of these guys? And they only have $550,000 available in salary cap.
Yep.
So – who exactly are you going to get with $550,000?
I wouldn't mess with anything at the trade deadline. They are just a joy to watch right now. Let's not mess with it.
Derek in Colchester says, does Arnie realize that the Red Sox had a better record than the Yankees last year? Add a power hitter for each, and the Sox still have a better roster. Yeah, that's a slap in the face when you same person, Martinez and Stanton, same person. Just add a power hitter for each there, right?
Yes.
Oh, stop it.
You're going to tell me that Martinez's numbers over the second half of last year, at least, weren't the same as Stanton's? They were better.
You think that's just as big of a pickup as the Yankees did?
I would rather have Stanton than Martinez, but it's not that far-fetched to say that Martinez is somewhat close to Stanton with his numbers.
But it's also dependent. See, it's also hard to do that because – it's all about what's around them, what ballpark are they playing in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Last year, Stanton was the only thing in that Marlins lineup. Well, one of three or four things in that Marlins lineup, whereas the Diamondbacks went to the playoffs, and they were a playoff-caliber lineup, and they were playing for something down the stretch, right. And Martinez is inserted into that. So I can't get too worked up about who's better. I think on the surface, Stanton is better.
I also
think Stanton is going into a more favorable situation. Yep. He's playing in a better hitting ballpark. He's playing with a better lineup of supporting cast around him. He's playing with Aaron Judge right in front of him or behind him or however you want to do the lineup. I think it's hard to do that. One more thing on the Bruins real quick, though, I wanted to mention. I mentioned that $550,000 they have. That's all they have available to them. They're going to have to trade somebody of value that you care about in order to go and make a move that takes on salary. Would you go and do that? I mean, would you trade a Danton Heinen or a DeBrusque or a Carlo to go and get a bigger name?
Maybe Carlo. Maybe. He has not had nearly the year he had last year on defense. He's turning the puck over constantly in bad spots. Maybe Carlo. I would not mess with Danton Heinen. He's fourth on the team in scoring. I'd never heard of the guy until this year. He's fourth on the team.
By the way, Shaden Burlington said, Rich, keep your Bruin pity to yourself. Hope you guys get bounced in the first round.
Bruin pity. I'm not sure what that means.
He's saying you've said you feel bad for the Canadians. He's saying keep that to yourself.
Milo says, I'm not getting excited about the Bruins until they could beat Washington.
That's true. Yeah, how weird is that? They'll probably meet each other. Washington can't win in the playoffs. But the Bruins can't ever beat Washington.
And Doug and Heinsberg thinks we're a bookie joint. I'll be willing to put some cash down that the Red Sox end up with a better record than the Yankees next year. So,
how about a car wash type of situation?
Yeah. I'll wash your car naked. How about that? That's how positive I am there, Rich.
There's nothing positive about that, Arnie.
Brady, what is coming up next?
Team USA, Amanda Pelkey, goes for gold tonight in women's hockey against Canada.
Yes,
are we excited, and what do we think?
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
I remember now it's trivia night.
Yeah.
7:30 to 9:30. Come on out. Questions already written.
I am going to whip that crowd into a frenzy tonight.
UVM game, we will be on TV soon.
On the big screen.
You can watch it for the first half, as it should be a blowout by halftime. For the most part.
You know what? This time, I agree with you.
I wonder if they're going to start this. I wonder if they're going to start seniors. They've got six seniors. I wonder if they'll start five of them.
Yeah, give Urso maybe some time for a couple of minutes.
I wonder.
I think they should start all six. I want to.
Interesting question.
I want to play for Binghamton today. Aren't they like the worst Division I basketball program?
No, they're. I mean, they're 2-11 in the league.
No, but
this
like over
be.
The last
I heard
4 years,
talking about
years,
it on
though.
Champlain Valley game night last night. It's like, come on, guys, let's not mess around tonight. Just get this. You know, they keep getting themselves behind, and I know that's bothering them and the fans.
They should win by 30 tonight.
Just get it over quick and let's go.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, that's what you were saying last night.
Yeah, first 5 minutes of the game, come out with energy, come out with enthusiasm, and have that kind of instinct back, that kind of swagger.
It's like watching the Celtics the last three or four games for UVM. They just, for whatever reason, don't come out of the locker room fired up.
And the Bruins down 2-0.
Well, but that hasn't been happening too much, although they constantly give up the first goal. Yeah.
We got the women's hockey game tonight, 11 o'clock.
Nice.
Excited about that, USA and Canada.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm pumped.
I am pumped about that.
Are you going to watch it?
Yeah,
you stay up?
Well, the men's game started at 10 o'clock last night, right?
It was pretty late.
It's an hour earlier than the women's game.
I fell asleep with 2 minutes left in overtime in the men's game and missed the whole shootout. I was so mad at myself when I woke up this morning. I'm like, did they win? And then I woke up and saw that they lost. Yeah,
I only made it to the end of the Bruins game, which was pretty late in itself.
Yeah, it's late. It's tough, but I think I want to stay up tonight to see the women's game. Obviously, that's going to be quite a battle. And I mean, how many have they lost? Five times in a row now?
They've lost five games in a row to the Canadians overall here. And I mean, pretty crazy that the U.S. or Canada have won every Olympics gold medal since it was brought into the Olympics. And what's crazy also is that the U.S. has dominated in the World Championships, and Canada has dominated in the Olympics. So I wonder, for teams that are probably relatively the same, why so much success in the World Championships versus the Olympics?
I guarantee you there will be a lot of interest around here. I mean, you should have seen the crowds for the World Championships at Gutterson. What was it, 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever it was? The place was packed. And, of course, Canada and the U.S. went at it in the championship game, and it was crazy in that place. I don't know if this is a blessing or a curse. It's a blessing right now, tonight, because they're going to get a crowd. They're going to get an audience for this game. But is it a good thing to always have the same two teams? You know they're going to be in the gold medal game before the Olympics even start.
Well,
is that
the stadium
good?
Was empty last night for the men's game.
Men's game was
horrible.
Empty.
Well, was it, what,
a lot of stuff's
what time
been empty.
Is it that, what time is it if it's 10 o'clock our time? Do you know?
I want to say it's 18 hours ahead, so that would make it 10 a.m. and then plus another
10 p.m.
I understand okay. So 12 hours ahead of us would be 10 a.m. there. So I don't say it was like 4 p.m.
That's not bad at all. So I don't know why. Where the hell was everybody? Because the place was damn empty, to be honest with
you. Yeah, and we'll see about tonight. Who knows? I mean, it is all the way across the world. So that's, you know, how many U.S. and Olympic Canadian hockey fans are going to make that trip other than family?
Well, it is the gold medal match. And as far as it being good for the game, are good for the Olympics, I think it is. I think it's okay that we go in with a predisposition that it's going to be U.S. and Canada. It's not our job or Canada's job to curtail our success. Right. It's the jobs of the other teams around the world to catch up. And eventually they can do that like we've seen in other sports. You know, snowboarding was all American, you know, success at the start. Now other countries are coming out of everywhere to become good at that. So it is cyclical, so that doesn't bother me. But it kind of begs the question of, one of the things we love about the Olympics is the sportsmanship aspect. Now, even though these are the highest of the high athletes, sportsmanship in the Olympics is pretty profound. This is not a sportsmanlike rivalry. There's some general disdain here.
Yeah,
so how do you like your Olympics? Fiery and contested or sportsmanship?
No, I like fiery and contested. By the way, I was called out by my Sunday partner, but he's like, you don't even know a girl's name on the team. I'm like, Amanda Pelkey, what are you talking about,
man? Must have floored him.
Oh, I told him. He's like, how did you know? I'm like, who doesn't know her?
Right.
What's wrong?
No, but I mean, this is, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, because if you know who the two teams are going to be, and the thing is, as Brady said, it's cyclical, but at the same time, this hasn't been cyclical from the very start. It's always been the same two teams.
Yeah, but we're starting, you know, the U.S. and Canada, I think, are starting at a much higher point. You know, they're starting way further along in the development in women's hockey than a lot of other countries are. Look at soccer also is another one. The U.S. is way far behind the Brazils of the world in soccer, and we're not on that level yet on the men's side because it's been that way forever. But on the women's side, the U.S. is way further ahead than other spots in the world because they started at a spot that they're further along than a lot of other countries that are even good on the men's side.
But I worry, are the Chinas and the, you know, the Czechs and the Slovenia and all those other teams, are they making an attempt to get any better? Are they sinking the financial wherewithal into their women's hockey programs, or is this just going to go on forever?
I also wonder, some of those countries, I mean, think about how long it really takes to start and develop a program and then get good. We're also talking about in some of the countries that you would stereotypically think could be good, they haven't been countries for all that long. When you start talking about the Slovenias and those Middle East, you know, those Eastern European countries, those are Soviet offshoots that haven't been countries more than some of them, in some cases, not even 30 years at
this
point.
Anything that ends with the word Stan is new.
So they haven't been countries
except
for 30.
Maybe Pakistan.
They haven't been countries for more than 30 years. So I think it takes a long time to develop a youth program and then get competitive on the Olympic level. Now, you wonder why a Russia is not as competitive. That would be one. Sweden, Finland. I mean, those countries that have rich hockey traditions kind of throughout history, you wonder why they're not there. But some of these other countries, I think they're going to need a lot of time to catch up.
Well, how fun will this be? Uh-huh. 2 o'clock in the morning tonight, a double overtime. Amanda Pelkey wins the gold for America.
By the way, 14 hours ahead, Bill in Colchester called us.
All right, so there you go. Not 18, 14. All right, but Brady, what is coming up on the show today? I'm not going to make you stay late with Champaign Valley game night tonight. I'm going to cut that in half for you.
Well, we're going to talk with Plattsburgh baseball coach Chris Dorey because not only is their season getting ready to start, they've also got some pretty important off-the-field stuff going on. We'll tell you about that story at about 6:05.
It's senior night at UVM. We'll talk about that next right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball.
Ouch!
Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
More cowbell, baby.
It is senior night. I think UVM is already leading 10-0. I'm not sure. Let me double-check the score. They should come out and hammer them. I'd full-court press them. I would just try to put them away in like 3 minutes and just wrap it up after that.
Why don't they just play their regular game and hammer them?
No. They got to do something special.
This guy on the radio, Arnie Spanier, I think his name is, told us to press right from the start. So, guys, get out there
press, for crying out loud. Six seniors, so... the seniors do usually start on senior day, Brady, so I'm assuming five will start, and they'll bring in the sixth one right away.
No, they're going to start all six of them, actually.
I would love that.
Well, Ernie Duncan, remember, is with this class, even though he's not actually a senior.
Right, so there's five.
He's a redshirt junior.
No, there's six.
No, there's six, but Duncan would be – Duncan's not included in that.
Right, he hurt his back early in his freshman year, and he was out for the season, so they redshirted him.
All right, so then, I think they'll go ahead and start them, and play like 3-4 minutes
Well, I mean, obviously, Trebell Haynes, Henson, Cam Ward, Urquhart, they're all going to play major minutes. But, yeah, you'd like to see David Urso maybe get a start and play a few minutes.
Yeah. I think they'll
maybe
come
Roar.
Out. Yeah, they should just – what places are they in last place?
Last. 2-9 in the league.
I told you. I think they're like the worst Division I program over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, they've struggled.
Well, they made the NCAA tournament back in like 2011.
And they still have.
They?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They were a 15 and played Duke. And
get out of here. That's a good seed for them.
So get this. The star of that team was a guy by the name of Tiki Maben. Do you know the name?
No,
Tiki
but Maben? Is he one of the guys that got in trouble?
Yes.
There's been quite a few.
So Tiki Maben was from Albany also. I'm going to tell the Tiki Maben story
now. Tell the Tiki story now.
So Tiki Maben was from Albany, and he went to Troy High School. And he was so good, but he was so volatile. Like, he kept getting thrown off the team, and they'd bring him back and all this stuff. He once was so good. They were playing Schenectady High School, who was also really good at a bunch of Division I players. He hit a three, stole the ball, hit another three, then flipped off the crowd.
Reggie Miller.
Then stole the ball again and hit another three.
Nice!
So, like, he was that kind of player. He had a scholarship to Syracuse. Boeheim told him that he couldn't go unless he got his grades up. So he went to prep school. And then... he wasn't able to go back to Syracuse. He wasn't able to go to Syracuse.
Sounds
so then,
like a charming fellow.
So then he went to UMass.
Yeah.
And then he went to Hudson Valley Community College. And then he went to Binghamton, led him to the tournament.
Did we play against him in the YMCA? No. No, okay.
Was their leading scorer against Duke, and going into the next season, got busted in a drug ring.
Oh,
and then I saw him at Binghamton UAlbany, at Albany, and he had the nerve to sit right behind the Binghamton bench after being thrown off the team and kicked out of school.
Wow.
Sounds like a lovely guy.
And you say I can't play. I don't understand that. Wouldn't that be great if the guy showed up at the YMCA league? And I was talking smack to him. You got no game, Tiki.
Yeah,
you got
good no luck game, with that. Tiki. I bet his reaction wouldn't be the same as Trimboli's.
Oh, no. I think he'd be
he'd
a little
be on the floor.
Oh, I'd love that one.
Can I share the Blake Bortles story
real quick? Yeah, go ahead.
So Blake Bortles was on the Pardon My Take podcast on Barstool Sports, and he had some interesting things to say. They were joking around about after the AFC Championship game when they lost to the Patriots, when the Jags lost to the Pats, what was it like talking to Tom Brady after? Pretty funny stuff.
Did you shake hands with Tom Brady after the game?
I did. I shook his hand as hard as I could. I was trying to pop those stitches.
Did you give him any advice?
No, I said, well, first of all, I'm walking out there, right, and, like, playing him in that environment in Foxborough, like, so many cameras around, and I'm not used to doing that, right? There's not a whole lot of cameras that go out to the quarterback meetings usually in the games I'm involved in, but that one, there was a lot, right? So I'm like, he's in the middle with the cameras all around him, and I'm, like, outside standing behind all the cameramen, like, trying not to get trampled by him. So I'm, like, trying to move people to get to him, and then I get in there, give him a nice firm handshake, and... you know, looked him in the eye and said, good luck.
There you go.
And that's... I think he said that was fun. And I was just like, man, what a statement. Yeah, I'm glad I could entertain you a little bit.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that guy's, we know what he's doing after he retires from football.
I tried to shake his hand and pop the stitches out.
Yeah, what a personality. I love that. See, that's what I like. I like stuff like that. Hour one of the books. Brady will come back and have a SportsCenter update. Then Buster only will stop on by. I think we got a lot of stuff to ask Buster, so that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Mere seconds away from Buster only. Can't wait to see what Buster's going to say about all the Major League Baseball changes. And I was just waiting for the MLB to add 1-on-1 count to every batter that goes up to the plate.
Man.
It's not the way it is in softball. It's automatically 1-on-1 or something like that.
Yeah, can we make this the Buster hour?
Oh.
I mean, really? We can only have 15
minutes
with him?
Real quick, take a guess.
Him?
Is he going to be upset about the – I assume he's going to be upset about the changes. Because he's a baseball purist, right?
He is a purist, but you know what? So am I, and I love the changes. Now if we could just, you know, bring the number of pitching changes per last three innings down.
You know, I forget what was the catcher that was talking today about it, saying, what are they going to do to me if I went out more than six times?
Right. There's no rule set.
Right.
That's the thing that's such a joke about it.
What's the penalty?
I don't know. Last year I went to countless double and triple A games with pitch clocks, and there was multiple infractions during the game. And the 2 minutes or whatever it is, the clock would run down to zero and the pitcher would still be warming up. Nobody cared. Nothing happened.
I think you should be allowed to throw stuff from the stands at the pitcher if he takes too long. Like rotten fruit.
Like hot,
like
hot
rotten
dogs.
Fruit, oranges. Just stuff like that. I think that would add to the game.
I think that would. And there's nothing wrong with a little fan participation. Unfortunately, you can't do that anymore because they're putting netting around the entire bleeping field.
I would absolutely love that. I'd love to see that. So
yeah, we could have like the rubber band launcher things and fire hot dogs out of
there. Yeah. That'd be great. Yes. But there's no penalty for the infraction, so what are you going to do if they go out more than six times? What are you going to do to the guy? You know what I mean?
Unless you throw
him out of the game.
No, but I mean, is the catcher going to pop up and start heading out to the mound? Is the home plate umpire going to realize it's six and just suddenly decide to, you know, wait, I've got to go get him. He can't go out there. I mean, is that what it's going to come to?
No, because he'll just say that's number seven.
Right, but you can't do number seven.
You can if there's no penalty.
But my point
is it going to be
a
$5,000 fine?
I see what you mean. They don't have an official penalty.
So what are you going to do if I go out there 10 times?
Call it a ball?
No, they're not going to do that.
Well, you've got to punish them somehow.
No,
you can't just make it up.
No. You're not going to do that to me. I mean, come on now. Slow your roll down there, big boy.
Gosh, you can break the rules, and we won't do anything to it. Yeah. The Vermont judicial system.
Yeah, so no. They're and by the way, Sean wants us to ask Buster about the chance of Jake Arrieta going to the Phillies, which I heard that today, too. Huh. Boy, all of a sudden the market soured on him. Yeah. What the hell is going on him? What's going on with him, Brady, with Jake Arrieta? Why is... Because I, you know, I love him. If I was going to go in the market for a starting pitcher, that's the way I'm going.
Well, he wants a ton of money, and he doesn't have a proven track record really either. That's really the issue.
Hey, dude, a lot of these guys don't have the proven – look at the money Martinez is getting in.
Well,
think about proven track record.
People are counting on Arrieta to be the guy he was 2 and 3 years
yes,
ago.
Yes,
the Hall of Fame, Jake Arrieta.
That was unbelievable.
It was.
Run.
It was the most ridiculous year a guy could
Give
have.
Give me some of that. I will overpay for that type of stuff.
Well, he was – but he was good enough last year that he's going to get some sort of demand, although we're not seeing it if he is.
I think you are going to overpay for him, but that's the kind. Look, I don't even know if he's a number one starter anymore.
Well, it depends, obviously, on where he goes.
Yeah, well, for the Phillies, you're like 1A and 1B. But,
you'd be 1. Although I sort of like the way the Phillies are doing it. I know their fans don't want to wait around much longer. I'm sure they're getting impatient with these last place finishes, but they're really young. I mean, they've got to hit on a couple of these guys eventually.
See, this is what kills me, the 5 weeks before the start of baseball, man. It's just too long. It drags out way too much on the – I know you love going out there to – but you just like going out there – see, the funny part is you just like going out there to enjoy the weather, sit and watch baseball.
Yes.
You're not enjoying the prospects or watching the guys – if like saying, I saw Martinez his first three games, and boy, he's really you don't care anything.
I
about
could
that.
Not care less
well,
if
see, that's
if
not
a,
fair. That.
If a Hall of Famer is standing 10 feet
no,
in front of me,
I don't mean
care.
That. But I mean, some people actually go because
they want to see the kids,
or they want to see Stanton. I've never seen Stanton. I mean, obviously, I've seen him.
No, I mean it would be fun. Sure, if Giancarlo Stanton comes to the plate, which he definitely
but he's
won't.
Never been on the team, though.
He won't because I'll be in Arizona. Right. But, I mean, if you know, like Paul Goldschmidt, I went to a bunch of Diamondbacks games over the years
That's fun.
I pay attention when he comes up, especially because I'm usually sitting in the grass in left field, so I know a ball's coming my way.
And there's never a chance to get that up close and personal with these guys. It's unbelievable.
I couldn't have any interest in that.
Rich, as much as I'm talking to you now in this normal, you can hear me if I was yelling stuff at Judge. I wouldn't even have to yell. I could just talk like this, and he's going to be able to hear me. You know?
No, it's great. And a lot of people think that's really important. For me, it's just about sunshine.
Yeah, you just
want baseball,
and I understand that a lot of people want to go. But I just thought that you know the Yankee fans when they go out to Florida, they just want to see Stanton and Judge.
Oh my gosh, did you see the crowd lined up at Steinbrenner Field before they even opened the gate yesterday?
I read about it, but I didn't see the.
Oh my gosh, you can't even get a Yankees ticket for a home game this year. Probably an away game either.
Are
you talking about spring training?
Oh, you're not talking about the 162 up in Yankee Stadium.
No, I'm talking about Tampa, Steinbrenner Field. Those
How
games are all going to – they're probably already sold out.
Just to see those two guys.
Yeah, they're probably going to have to scalp tickets to get them.
And you wonder why I think the Yankees are the front runners when you have the Yankee fans just lined up just to see their preseason game, Rich.
Oh, I understand. There's a good reason to. I mean, they can't wait. You don't
want
to have
to wait.
Are the
Red Sox fans going, I can't wait to see Martinez? They'll be lined up around the block to see Martinez? You see, that's what I'm talking about. And maybe that's wrong of me. But, I mean, even Hosmer has more name cachet than that.
No,
right?
I understand what you're saying, and you make the point. But, I mean, statistically, it's closer than you think.
Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, our MLB insider from ESPN, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Everybody texted, what does Buster think about the changes? Only 6 visits. I can't believe they're doing this. Buster, what do you think about all this?
Now, you're talking about the Red Sox with J.D. Martinez, correct?
Well, yeah, but we're also talking about the changes that MLB had about only 6 visits to the mound.
Oh.
Same thing.
I would say this. I'm glad they put a cap on it because it did. You'd watch games this year in the last couple of years, and it would just be ridiculous. And I don't mean to pick on this player because he was being diligent. Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, my goodness. I mean, it felt like he'd go out there 20 times. There are times Gary Sanchez of the Yankees. Same thing where you're like, you wish you'd been better prepared for that. And I do think that by limiting that to 6, the mound visits to 6, that you're going to force the players to adjust a little bit more. And that's probably what they should have been doing all along. It's a first step for Major League Baseball in trying to improve pace of play. But I got to tell you, I do wonder if in the 24 hours after they announced that the pace of play initiatives, there was so much complaining from the players that I wonder if Rob Manfred had thought, might already be thinking, you know what, I should have just put in the whole thing. I should have put in the pitch clock. I should have put in everything. Because if they're going to spend the whole summer griping, I might as well get my money's worth.
And Buster, I mean, as far as the pitch clock goes, A, do you see that coming to fruition as a real thing within the next couple of years? And B, I mean, I go to a ton of minor league games, and I see it at Triple and Double A, and They go that thing hits zero all the time. There's no enforcement.
Well, I can't speak to that because you've been to those games. I do think that at some point it's going to happen. You know, baseball has been since last spring has been trying to engage the players and have a conversation with the players, you know, about trying to make this happen. And I got to say that with everything going on with the union right now, it's just not very organized on the other side. I really think that, and I'm going to write a column about this weekend. What Major League Baseball should do is tell the union, look, you guys form a committee, you come up with whatever rules you want to get to, as long as, you know, we war game it out and we determined our analytics department determines that we can get to 255. We don't care how you get there. You can change the rules you want to change. Don't change these rules. Don't have a pitch clock, whatever. Just get us to 255. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, when I talk to players about it, well, they'll say, I don't like it. And I ask, okay, what would you do? And I hear back a lot, I'm not sure. and I don't think there's any question that they need to. Last week, I spoke at my old high school, Northfield Mount Hermon, in Western Mass, and I it was a room full of about 100 kids, and I said, and I was asked about the pace of play initiatives, and I said to them, and I could see the look in their eyes, I said, look, how many of you in this room would sit down to watch a baseball game for 4 hours? And the look, I might as well have been sentencing them to prison for 4 hours, just the look on their faces, and I'm like, well, guess what? You guys are the target audience. That's why they're trying to make these changes. Yeah. And I think that they'll continue to push on that front.
Buster, let's start with first the Yankees move yesterday because it was more recent. What did you think of the trade overall to acquire Brandon Drury from the Diamondbacks?
I thought it was a terrific trade, and it could turn out to be better than that if the Yankees' evaluation of Brandon Drury is correct. You know, they view him, as Joel Sherman in the New York Post wrote this morning, as kind of like another version of Aaron Hicks, a guy who they're getting when he's on the rise. He fits their payroll now because they're trying to get on a luxury tax threshold. He's only going to make about $600,000, so he helps in that regard. But they also think, you know, at age 25, that once you set him into one position, third base, that he's going to be someone who's going to get a lot better. I will say this. Strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a theme with the Yankees this year. You are going to see games where they get 15, 16 strikeouts. But I don't think there's any question it was an excellent trade and allows them to manage their payroll.
That's so funny because that's the one thing I mentioned to Brady. I go, he does strike out a lot. The striking out a lot, does that bother you? Because it certainly bothered back in the day. I don't know if it bothers you now, though.
Well, I don't think it bothers teams nearly as much. Right. I mean, you know, it's the guys who are under 100 strikeouts who are the exceptions. But when you look at their lineup with Judge and Stanton and, you know, Drury and some other guys, they are going to strike out a lot. They're also going to have an awesome offense. I think it was Jerry Krasnick today on a podcast. He related a conversation he had with a scout recently who said that when you look at Stanton, Judge, Bird, and Stanton, that you might have that just that quartet, those four Yankee hitters, generate 180 homers. Now, I don't buy that per se.
Wow.
I think they're probably, you know, injuries infect. But their firepower in their lineup is unbelievable. And I think, you know, they're going to turn out to be, to me, the most prolific offense this side of the Houston Astros.
Wow. Buster, how do the dominoes fall with Drury coming in? I assume he'll go to third. What does that mean for Andujar? What does it mean potentially for Torres?
Yeah, and they could start the Gleyber Torres, of course, is the prime prospect they got in the Aroldis Chapman trade. He, at some point, is going to be their second baseman. Whether or not he is that at the beginning of the year probably depends on how he plays this spring. He missed so much time last year. My instinct is the Yankees will start start the year with either Torres or Danny Espinosa, who they signed to a minor league contract. He's in there. He's a terrific fielder. Oh, by the way, another guy who strikes out a lot at second base, and eventually those guys will ascend. You know, Andujar, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. If the Yankees are right and Drury turns to be pretty good, then maybe at some point you're putting Andujar in a deal, or maybe you're moving Drury around and he becomes kind of a super utility guy.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on The Huddle, as he is every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I got two questions about the Yankees outfielders. One, does Jacoby Ellsbury, I think he's on this team, but does he really have a role on this team?
He doesn't have one on paper, but Aaron Boone was asked the question that the other day in a press conference I was in, and he said, look, it's a competition. Now, going into the spring, we know that Giancarlo Stanton's going to play every day, and Aaron Judge is going to play every day, and Brett Gardner's probably going to play every day. That's three guys for four spots already. Aaron Hicks had a tremendous year last year. I don't think there's any question out of that five, Jacoby is number five. I bet if you gave truth serum to the Yankees front office, what they would love for would be for Ellsbury to come in, have a great spring training, show that he can be a terrific player again. He's got, what, 3 years left on his contract at about $68 million. Get some team interested in acquiring him. And the Yankees, I'm sure, would be willing to pay down the vast majority of that money because, to your point, Brady, he really doesn't have a role. But you never know. I've seen plenty of situations where you go into a spring and you think that guy's the odd man out, and then, you know, a Judge gets hurt, a Stanton gets hurt, a Gardner gets hurt, and all of a sudden Jacoby Ellsbury's playing every day. And Aaron did point out that when you look at, his season last year, there were extended stretches when he actually played well.
And I do, the follow-up to that is I love prospects in general, but I love Clint Frazier in particular for the Yankees. He definitely doesn't have a role on the opening day roster. Does he just end up in AAA, or do they look to move him because it's just they have too oversaturation of outfielders?
Well, it's interesting. We talked about the impact of the Drury contract and how it allows them to manage their payroll. I now wonder if the Yankees are going to do that midnight attack on a guy like free agent like an Alex Cobb or a Lance Lynn, because they do have some payroll flexibility, or maybe they do put Frazier on the table. Maybe Andujar becomes someone that they actually would consider in a trade. I think they'll start the year with Frazier in the minor leagues and then just see what develops. We saw during the winter when they're having conversations about Gerrit Cole, they were willing to put Frazier in that deal.
Buster, I don't know if you heard. Red Sox got J.D. Martinez. Big story. Big story.
We've been talking about J.D. Martinez, it feels like, for about, 10 weeks.
I know. Buster, that big of a signing, I mean, yeah, he looks like he has numbers. I didn't know he was the second-best hitter over the last 4 years behind Trout, if you put up the big offensive
slugging
numbers.
Yeah.
Which is the real J.D. Martinez? How good is this guy going to be?
Well, it was a great signing, and I give respect to the Red Sox for holding their guns. I told you, when I had the report, 5 years, $100 million was the Red Sox initial offer, and then it was at another place. That's inaccurate. That number's off. No. The Red Sox stuck to their guns. They knew they weren't bidding against any other team. When Scott Boras made it clear on Saturday night, and that's when J.D. Martinez decided on Saturday night after Hosmer's deal got finished up,
yeah,
that's when he made up his mind he was going to go to the Red Sox. The Red Sox and Scott got serious, and they goosed it up to $110 million with the opt-outs. It's exactly what they need. They got the best power hitter in the market following a year in which they were last in the American League in home runs. They needed the big guy in the middle of the order. They needed the guy who could be the anchor to take pressure off Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and the rest. I thought it was a terrific signing. JD's a great guy. I think he's learned a lot. This is a guy 4 years ago was cut by the Houston Astros. He's got a lot of humility. He's really come to know himself well. He's told me a number of times how much he learned playing alongside Miguel Cabrera about hitting. The last 62 games of last season playing with the Diamondbacks, he hit 29 home runs.
Wow.
I don't know if he's a perfect fit for Fenway Park. He's kind of a right center field type guy, and as you guys know, that's a bigger part of that park. But he is the power hitter that they needed.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him playing in Centennial Field up here for the Tri-City Valley Cats. Seems like it was about a week ago. It's unbelievable how fast he progressed. But although not really fast, but once he arrived, he really arrived. What do you think of the Sox order now? It's not on par with the Yankees, I know, but is it close?
Well, I sent out the two lineups last night. I sort of gave projected lineups for both teams. I sent it out on Twitter, and the response was immediate and voluminous, okay? I think it's like 62,000 votes to this
point.
Wow. And 67% say the Yankees lineup is better, and the Red Sox, 33%. I would agree with that. I think, just in terms of the home runs generated, the Yankees have an advantage. But I had this conversation with Rick Porcello the other day. I said to him, I said, you guys are so underrated, it's scary. Like, everyone, because the Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton, and they're getting a lot of credit for it, and rightly so, but people have been knocking the Red Sox, and Rick and I were talking about how, you know, there's so many guys on that team who last year didn't have their best season. Chris Sale carried that team for 4.5 months. And you know what? This year they come back, Mookie could be better. Xander Bogaerts, you can make a reasonable case he's going to be better. Jackie Bradley Jr. Now you drop J.D. Martinez in the middle of it. Now you got Carson Smith in their bullpen. Craig Kimbrell's terrific. You can reasonably argue that David Price is going to be better. Up and down the whole group, they could absolutely improve. And, yeah, they won the division last season. So it really, I mean, I think they could be terrific. I don't think their offense is going to be as good as the Yankees' offense, but you know, depending on what happens with the starting pitching, I think that probably would be their advantage, where their advantage over the New York would be.
Buster, I don't know what to make of Hanley Ramirez. I was all set to say, well, the signing of J.D. Martinez means he's going to be on the bench a lot. He's not going to hit the 500 plate appearances for his option, and he's going to be gone next year. Now, all of a sudden, he's hitting third. I don't know what to make of it.
Well, I love, and I can't, I think it was about Hanley Ramirez, but you know, old friend Alex Cora, now managing the Red Sox, he was asked the other day about Hanley and how much he's going to play, and he's got that vesting option. And Alex's answer was perfect and simple. He'll play if he hits. And that's the great situation the Red Sox are with him. And generally speaking, with the rest of them, and the Yankees are in the same boat with Ellsbury, there's a lot of guys there, and there's going to be a competition. If Hanley Ramirez hits, he's going to be the first baseman. If Mitch Moreland hits, he's going to be the guy. You know, the same thing as Booney indicated in the Yankees outfield. That's going to be the case, and I think that's a great spot for them to be in. Look, I think if Hanley doesn't hit in the first couple months of the year, given the fact that it's the last year of the contract, it wouldn't surprise me if they just said, you know what, that's it, wave the white flag. Bring in a player who's more versatile defensively.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned versatility and flexibility. This is going to be a point of mine all year long. You look at what the Yankees were able to do yesterday, and it's because they have prospects in their farm system. The Red Sox can't do things like that because they have no prospects.
Right.
So how important is it for the Sox to start to regenerate that farm system?
100%. And, you know, I mean, in some respects, it's going to happen organically because – if they get into bidding wars, and I'm not saying that either the Red Sox or the Yankees would land this player, but let's say, you know, Manny Machado's out there. There's no question about it. The Yankees are in a better spot to make a deal for a player like that than the Red Sox are. For years, it was the Red Sox who had that advantage in, you know, 2012, 2013, 2014. And now it's the Yankees. And so I think absolutely they burned through a lot of their prospects. Especially now that Devers is in the big leagues, you know, and they got good players for that.
Yep.
Craig Kimbrell's terrific, and Chris Sale's terrific, but they paid the price for that. They do need to start rebuilding the farm system because the Yankees look like they are devoted to the idea of maintaining their farm system, which, by the way, guys, that was the major reason why they did not make a move on Moustakas in the end, Moustakas, the free agent third baseman, because they would have had to give up a draft pick to get him. They would have had to give up the draft slot money to get him, international signing money to get him,
wow.
And they just weren't interested in doing that.
Wow. Good stuff, Buster. Good stuff to know, man. Appreciate it. Always a good time. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll catch up with you next week, buddy.
Okay, guys. It'll be fun.
Thanks, Buster. Olney, our ESPN MLB insider. Brady, well, wow, that was good. A lot of good information there. What do we got coming up next?
Mel Kiper Jr. thinks the Giants are taking a running back.
I saw this.
Number two overall. We'll get into that.
Don't buy it. We'll get into that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arne and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
I remember now, City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30, trivia night. Rich is hosting.
Yeah.
Make sure you get out there, be square. Fabulous prizes. And by the way, the City Sports Grill, very generous, I got to tell you, on the on the gift cards they give away for first half winners and second half winners. So they give out $50 cards, $25 cards, and you take that right off your tab. So it's
half
pretty
price
awesome.
Burgers.
Half price burgers.
UVM game on the big screen.
That's right, UVM game that you'll be able to watch for the first half. It should be a blowout by then, so you don't have to pay attention.
I'm a little mad at you though. Aren't
you? What did I do now? You were mad at me yesterday too. Every time we talk baseball, you're mad at me.
No. I'm just mad at you that I changed some of the music up and got a little more energy. And,
I didn't notice.
You haven't even noticed.
Did not notice.
Haven't said one thing.
That's like a girl getting a haircut, and I didn't notice.
Don't you play that re-entry a lot, that one you just played?
Actually, no. That one has only been played since Monday.
See, now he's mad at you.
Never played that
one.
It did used to be the Champlain Valley Game Night intro years ago.
Oh, that's what it was.
But in my defense, I'm musically inept, though. I really am.
And
unless it's like music by dead people.
Physically and socially inept.
That, too.
And emotionally.
I also. But, if it's old music, then I'll recognize it. But
Throw in some Grateful Dead for him.
Yeah, totally. I once almost went to a Grateful Dead concert.
You probably did, don't remember it.
No,
everyone else.
I drove there with my friends, got out of the car, actually went right to the entrance where the people were dancing in circles. I said, I'm out of here. I got college football tonight. I don't have time for this.
When was this? Where, too?
This was in Los Angeles somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I'm like,
somewhere.
I go, I do not have time for this. I go, you guys are on your own. I'm going home. And I just got in my car and I left.
I don't have time for this. No. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, there was an Arizona game on that night. I didn't know.
So instead of a Grateful Dead concert, you watched an Arizona basketball game?
No, football. There were football.
Well, whatever sport. Yeah.
Actually, basketball would be better.
I go, I don't even be twirling in a circle. I go, that's not my thing. And I don't need to be sitting there watching people twirl in a circle. So I said, I'm going
to
haul out.
That was the only reason I used to go see Fish all the time in the bars in Burlington, was because that's where all the twirly girls went. We'd sit there and watch them.
Yeah, I could tell
corner.
I wasn't going to make it in that one. Though I did have my friend Kingsley Whipple. Kingsley Whipple.
Is that really his name?
That's really his name. He was he used to follow the Dead. And I remember picking him up at the airport. This was another time. I go, hey, I don't know how to tell you this. Jerry Garcia's in a coma and he's probably dead. Remember when he got into it? But he didn't die.
No, he didn't.
And Kingsley just started bawling, like crying. Like, oh.
That was a sad day when it actually happened.
I thought I was just kind of kidding around with him, but he really took it seriously.
Yeah. My brother-in-law out in Michigan, he's a suit and tie guy. Well, wears million-dollar suits. He's a TV news anchor, man. He follows them everywhere.
Well,
he
just prepares look at Bill all Walton.
Of his, I mean, it's not just all hippies. It's a lot of different types of people.
Well, Bill Walton, I mean, he wears tie-dye shirts to work on TV. I don't know how he gets away with that. All right, Brady, what's up with Mel Kiper? What's going on there?
Mel Kiper today on Golic and Wingo says he thinks the Giants are taking Saquon Barkley number two in the draft.
That's ridiculous.
Barkley now, I think, ascends to the second spot. I think you see two other running backs maybe go in the first round. And now the reluctance, and I've always said, you know that, don't take a running back. Teams, I think, felt that way as well. Now they're jumping back into the fray thinking, hey, running backs now that are versatile. And that's what Barkley is. That's why he can catch, he can block.
Yeah, that's almost laughable.
He'll change it next week.
Yeah, and you know what? I've slowly lost so much, not even slowly, I've completely lost respect for Mel Kiper. I mean, if you go through his old
friend of the show, Mel Kiper. Wow.
Oh, I love Mel Kiper.
He's got the best job on earth.
But if you really go through the his analysis on these draft picks, he's wrong like more than 60% of the time.
You still love Sean Parker and the Weathermen are always wrong.
Yes, I know that's true. I know that
Come on. Anybody who had the nerve to call 4 days ago Wednesday in the 60s, I'll take my hat off to. They all said that.
It's now 47.
Well, that's not hard to say.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be in the 20s by midnight.
Rich, you can give the weather if I just typed you over what the weather's going to be. Just read it off the screen.
Over the weekend, if you said Wednesday's going to be in the
60s. They're not guessing. They're not guessing. They're reading it off the weather prompter thing. Come on.
Anyway, Saquon Barkley. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he changed it this week. Next week, it'll be someone else. But
it's a quarterback-rich draft. First of all, you're not going to take the number two pick with him because there's so many people that want those quarterbacks. So just the fact that he said that they're going to take him at number two is a joke because they could trade down and get Saquon Barkley at number three or number four and still get the guy they want. So I don't even understand how he comes up with something like that, to be honest.
Well, a lot of the top 10 doesn't need quarterbacks. Remember that. You look at three with Indy, they don't need a quarterback. We did this on Friday on the list in front of me, but more than half of the top 10 does not need a quarterback. Tampa doesn't need a quarterback. Chicago doesn't need a quarterback.
Until teams start trading in because they do need quarterbacks, like a Buffalo or something.
Yeah, but
like
then
that.
but then you're talking about trading out. Buffalo's in at 20 or something.
They have two picks in the first round, two picks in the second round.
And if there's they have Kansas City though, yeah, and their own, both of which are in the 20s.
And well, Cleveland's so second 20s. Pick won't need a quarterback.
And let me tell you, right, if I'm the Browns, you could have pick 4 if you want to give me number 20 and whatever, 20 and 23, let's say, for the Bills. I'll do that in a. Oh, are you kidding me? In a heartbeat.
Okay, but that's the Browns. We're talking about the Giants. We're talking about the Giants taking Saquon Barkley.
Right, the Giants, they could still move down depending on, let's say, who is picking at like number 8 or number 9. It depends on who wants to move up and get one of those quarterbacks out there. I mean, this is what the this is what you live for, to get yourself a Josh Rosen or a Sam Darnold or a Josh Allen or somebody like this. This is a once in a lifetime draft.
Okay, so one of Cleveland's two picks doesn't need a quarterback. One of those two will not be a quarterback.
Even though I think it was Mel that said that they should take two quarterbacks with 1 and 4, and I'm not kidding about that.
But okay, well, one of them we presume won't be a quarterback. The Colts don't need a quarterback. Denver, they do need a quarterback, but they're already at 5. And if Denver wants to go from 5 to 2, then fine, but there's no guarantee you'd get Barkley at 5.
And they just put their quarterback up on the market also. They're shopping him around.
The Jets need a quarterback, but 7 through 10, yeah, neither one of them needs quarterback.
Yeah, the Jets are going to go ahead, and the Jets may actually trade up if they have to. I mean, they'll think about doing that also, but, plus they got a lot of money to do that too.
But nonetheless, anyways, there have been 4 running backs selected in the top 2 overall picks in the last 25 years. Reggie Bush, Ronnie Brown, Kajana Carter, Marshall Faulk. I would say... Yeah. One of those four is really good. Falk's a Hall of Famer.
Carter was a disaster.
Yeah. Ronnie Brown was good for a few years. Yeah. He was good for a few years, and Bush was – he was still an adequate back, but he never lived up to the hype.
No, he never did.
I would say that. So I would guess I would give it 1.5 out of 4 were really successful there.
Just because I don't want them taking Barkley at number 2 because there's quarterback rich doesn't mean I don't like him. I just don't think you need to go ahead and take a running back in that position. Yes, he is special, maybe a quarterback, a running back that comes around – once every 5 or 10 years or something like that, but I'm not going to go ahead and take him there, especially if I'm the Giants. I'm going to get that quarterback.
I'll tell you what, though. If they do take him, talk about, I mean, you know, skill position level. They're going to have the top, one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the NFL at the skill positions. If Beckham comes back and you've got Shepard and, you know, you've got Evan Ingram.
Yeah.
I mean, but the problem is they've got to keep Eli on his feet. But you can't – I just don't think that they're going to draft an offensive lineman first. I think they're going to draft a bunch of offensive linemen, but not with that 2 pick.
Well, and Josh Sitton just got released by Chicago. He'd be the best guard on the market along with Andrew Norwell. They could make a play there, but the Giants don't have a ton of money. Alex in Moncton says, mock drafts are nonsense. They never factor in trades.
Yes,
when was the last – draft with no first-round trades. And look, I'm usually with that. I hate mock drafts. There's 100 mock drafts that come out every day on every site, and we don't really talk about them all that much. The reason why we're talking about this is because the Giants have the number 2 pick.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that they're going to have the number 2 pick. Now, they could trade down, yes, but the likelihood is that they're going to stay at that number 2 pick. I don't spend much time projecting it. Oh, wow, the Patriots at 31. Look at the 9 different players they have them taking. That doesn't matter to you. This is number 2. This is a big deal.
And, Rich, this is probably more for you. If you could only go to one concert, what would it be? Millennium, whatever that is?
One concert in my life, absolutely Genesis 1972, without a doubt.
Wow.
Or 73.
Wow, look at you covering it with the years and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that.
Well, it makes a huge difference because Genesis started sucking when Phil took over.
I was going to say Ronnie James Dio, but that doesn't live up to it.
Well, that's not a bad one.
Oh, stop it. I went to one of his concerts. Wasn't really. I wore a spikes on my wrist.
Guy's about 4'11" or was. With that voice, how that voice came out of that tiny body, I have no idea.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at a lot of the drafts too, and they change like from week to week. You don't even know who's going to be smoking pot and dropping down 10 rounds or 10 spots like the Dolphins had to deal with.
Look, I just think that the Giants can get a running back in free agency and later in the draft and pair them together. Look at the teams that are one running back dependent, which is what if you take Barkley, you have to imagine he's going to be your bell cow. He's going to be the guy who carries the ball a bunch. Look at what happened to Johnson in Arizona. He gets hurt and the team goes south. Look what happened to Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended and the team goes south. So when you are one back, look at what the Seahawks did with Marshawn Lynch. They were so dependent on him, he leaves and the team goes south. You need a multi-back system now to be really, really good in the NFL and have a diversified backfield. look at Kamara and look at Kareem Hunt. Yeah. Both were drafted in the third round.
Maybe I give you the wrong team. Remember when I was kidding around and said the Patriots are going to get Martin? Maybe it's going to be the Giants.
I don't think they should do it either.
Well, that's a good backup. Well, that's
Doug Martin with that front line. With the Tampa front line.
I mean, got to get somebody. If the Giants in free agent, I think the Giants should draft a running back third or fourth round and try to hit a home run like Kamara and Hunt. And they should sign one in free agency to give you two of them. And I would go with Isaiah Crowell from Cleveland or Carlos Hyde. Both of which are better and more expensive than Doug Martin. But Doug Martin's not good anymore.
He didn't really play last year, and that wasn't really because of injury. What, four games with a suspension? So he got to take that wear and tear off his body. He never really got in the form after that. So
28 years old, and he's had multiple years where he's averaged less than 3 yards a carry. Yeah. He's had two home run seasons and a bunch of really, really mediocre to bad seasons.
I don't know. I would tell you, it's not like he's had the best of teams also. I would take it. You're not going to have to pay premium price on him. It's not like the man's a premium price or anything like that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Rick Porcello talks about J.D. Martinez, and then in Champlain Valley Game Night, I'll tell you about Dave Dombrowski and how to feel about him.
All right, all that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Yeah. All right, once again, here's the story. Champlain Valley Game Night from 6 to 6:30. Pregame at 6:30, 7 o'clock tip-off. Binghamton at UVM. And then, of course, if you want to go ahead after the game and you're driving around and you want to listen to the women's gold medal game, we'll have that for you at 960 The Zone, USA and Canada.
The boss just walked in during the commercial break. I said, what about the
hockey
game?
Why does he walk
in
when I'm never here? I don't understand.
And I said, any chance we can put that game on? And he said, sure, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
So he's going to go climb the tower in all this wind outside, and he's going to make some adjustments. It's about a 200-foot high tower.
If he falls, I don't care. So,
what is wrong with
you?
That's
part of the job.
He's like our favorite person.
I know
here.
That, but I can't pretend like it's going to upset
unless
me.
Unless he signs your check. That's just an awful thing
I know,
to say.
That was awful.
I don't care if he falls.
Well, I want him to live, okay? Can I just say that? I want him to live.
What happens between those ears?
I don't know. But you can still watch, listen to the game. So.
Yes. So is here Amanda Pelkey win the game at 2 o'clock in
the morning?
The
Pelkey Blast!
Yes, and that's on 960 The Zone. So that's on 960 AM, but we will have the game for
My
you.
My national audience is just mesmerized how I know so much about the women's team with Amanda Pelkey, and I just don't tell them how.
Okay, name a second player.
I can't do that. I can't. Donato? Is there a female Donato?
Yes, there is.
Yes, I knew it. Yep. I knew there was a female Donato, so I got that one right. Did I not? There you go. All right, Brady, what are we doing here, Brady?
What would you do without me?
Wow.
Rick, how many times
I got the
a
female
day
Donato
say,
one.
What are we doing now, Brady?
Rick Porcello talked about J.D. Martinez and talked about what it's like to play in Boston. So yesterday we heard about David Price's comments to Martinez. Today Porcello says, it's honestly a pleasure playing in Boston. Yeah, there are tough times. If you're not playing well, you're going to hear about it. But what's wrong with that? Who doesn't want to hear about it? Because when you are playing well, it feels like you've got the entire world behind you, and that's all you can ask for as a player.
Yeah, I don't need Porcello and his jinx getting anywhere near Martinez. Until he could fix himself and worry about his...
What jinx? Well, Porcello?
Yeah. Wait, he had a great year last year?
No, he was horrible. Okay, but he won the Cy Young the year before.
Well, worry about coming back to the pitcher you were the year before
I'd rather have him just be what he always was leading up to that, which is like 14-13 with a 4.5 ERA.
I'll take that.
I would happily take that.
I don't think we're going to get that, but I would definitely take that.
Well, that's what the Porcello was that the Red Sox signed for a gazillion dollars. He had been that pretty consistently.
By the way, I was going to say, how come it's easier for Porcello to take all the booze? But, boy, Price couldn't handle it.
Porcello's a nice guy. It doesn't do anything wrong, like off the field. He doesn't say the wrong things. He doesn't do the wrong things. He doesn't go after Hall of Famers. Pretty easy.
I got a question. Only in Boston do they boo the people that aren't playing well? Because it makes it sound like that. They'll boo you here because the Yankee fans don't boo players if they don't do well.
I would say there's really three boo markets. Philly, Boston, and New York.
Absolutely.
I tell you what happens with my Mariners. That's why they've been so bad. They don't boo them. They just go get another latte, and that's it.
Wow. So you think there's only three boo I don't know. The Met fans kind of boo.
Well, that's New York.
Left. Yeah. Well, that is true. Yeah. New York.
Oh,
Boston.
Yeah.
New York, Boston,
well,
and Philly.
I thought he meant the Yankees.
The Marlins fans will boo this year, all seven of them.
I was going to say all seven or whatever it is there. Yeah, there's not a lot of boo markets, is there? Well, what about the Did you say Chicago?
Cubs fans never
boo.
They're just happy to be there.
They're too drunk. They're off work. Taking the day off work. What are they booing about?
They might boo in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll give you that. All right, they'll do that. And Dodger fans,
third inning.
They just go to Hollywood after and hang out in the club.
Well, as far as booing when you're not at the stadium yet until the third inning.
I would put Philadelphia at the absolute top. I mean, every time I've been to anything in Philadelphia, it's like you're taking your life in your hands.
But the team is so bad anyway, so what are you booing about? You know they're bad.
Believe me, believe me, the modern-day Phillies are – it's not a very pleasant experience.
They won a title a decade ago.
Yep.
They have won a title within the last 10 years.
In my lifetime.
I was about to say, if there's one team in baseball that – baseball would like to see good again, I think it'd be the Phillies.
I heard it was the Mariners. I heard they wanted them to be good.
Were you guys good at one time? Were you?
Back in the mid-90s.
Wow.
Did they win 116 games one year?
2001.
Like, what's your projection? What's the projection for the Mariners? Just kind of curious. Are they going to have can they make a playoff run, or are you guys going to suck again?
Nah, they're probably predicted to be third place in the division and battle it out for the second wild card with the stupid Angels and stupid Ohtani.
Wow.
What's it like cheering for a team that isn't going to win?
I don't know. What was it like rooting for the Patriots in the 80s?
He doesn't remember.
Wow.
That was all big board.
It was
then.
The 80s. That was Lyndon State the whole decade.
You're so mean. Oh, yeah. Well, there you
go.
Because you were very salty right from the beginning of last year because they got off to a bad start. They, were like
they started out like
2-8
or something. 2-100.
Yeah, they were horrible.
Not because they had to play Houston seven times in the first 10 games and started out 2-8.
I remember putting the jinx on them just so you'd get off to a bad start.
That's why it happened.
I wasn't sure. I'm pretty sure it was that.
This year they open up with Cleveland, so they get another fun one. And next year they're going to open up in Tokyo against the A's.
So you get Corey Kluber on opening day.
Yep.
Have fun with that.
At least it's at home.
What time are their home games? Like at midnight? Eastern something
they
like
might
that?
As well be.
I can't
tell you how many times I had to get up for work at 5:15 after having stayed up until 1:30 just to see them blow a lead and how just you talk about salty.
I can't do that. I'm not staying until 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not watching the West Coast games. As much as I even would like to see the Dodgers, I can't do that.
Well, I'm gonna try to stay up tonight because that women's hockey game, especially when you've got Amanda Pelkey involved. I mean, those two teams just hate each other. It's too bad you can't really check, although they do. There'll be some hitting in that game.
Yeah,
they're not friends.
What was the last game? 3-2? Is that what it was?
For whom?
It was 2-1.
2-1?
They're always one goal.
Yeah. No, I think it was 3-2.
I thought it was 3-2, and then I thought I read something that said 2-1. I watched it.
That game could go till 3 in the morning. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was disappointed with the men's, especially after they got a 1-0 lead. I'm like, they could do this, man.
Yeah, but did you really have big
expectations?
It says
Canada defeated U.S. 2-1 in the prelims. I got to check and see.
Yeah,
check
that. I think it was 3-2. I'm gonna go ahead and go on the market.
It was a one-goal game.
All right, we'll come back. We'll finish it up as we get you ready for UVM also. So lots to get to. We'll tell you what's happening tonight. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, first of all, if I'm one of the guys that don't get to play a lot and I get to start, I'm one of the seniors, I'm gunning. I'm shooting every time I touch the ball.
What are you talking about?
For a senior night at UVM.
Oh, so like David Urso is going to go like 9 for 9.
Give me the ball and get out of my way. Just give me the ball and get out of my way. That's why I'm shooting from half court if I got to shoot from half court. I'm just going to take
Urso
every shot.
And Rohr combined for 37 points in a win over Binghamton.
Final score 82-50, UVM. 82-50.
It's entirely possible.
And that's exactly what it's going to be.
I'm going to go with...
I got 32 points. 82.
76-58.
Oh, that's close to mine. Yeah, 58. That's not bad.
I'll go 84-64.
84. So
I think they're going to run and gun a little bit tonight. I know that's not really their thing, but Binghamton struggled.
Is Trey Belhain still salty from the last loss?
Well, just stay healthy tonight. That's all that matters.
Look
just
at you
stay
just
healthy.
Go ahead, put the big jinx on everybody. You'll be out at the City Sports Grill.
Yes.
7:30 to 9:30.
Yeah,
so.
Come on, people.
We've had a good crowd the first three or four, and then Valentine's Day was a little bit slow, obviously, because everybody was doing Valentine's Day. But now we'll pick it back up, and we got good prizes tonight, and stuff to take stuff off the bill.
I am whipping that crowd into a frenzy.
Yeah.
7:30.
And we made the questions a little bit easier, because there's no fun if we start asking you questions that you don't have a clue. My wife's asking me questions. I go, what are you asking me a question like that for? I have no idea. I mean, I
what
can't
is
even
it, like,
I,
molecular science.
I can't even give you a guess. I'm so stupid. I couldn't even give you a guess. I can't even make up an answer.
That's pretty bad when you can't even come up with a guess.
It's like Jeopardy. If Alex Trebek would look at me, I go, Alex, I can't even give you a guess. I'm
this,
so stupid.
This prime number is...
Just, at least with numbers, you can guess and I love if the way, you know a number.
I love the way Alex thinks, like he pretends like he knows every answer.
Yeah, well, it's right in his hand.
Yeah, Alex. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, you got the answer right there in front of you. By the way, we wish him a speedy recovery after his, brain surgery?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, look
I've
at
noticed
you guys.
A few repeats.
Oh, there's going to be repeats great, for a while.
If I could just remember the answers, then I can really do well.
There'll be,
this was on a month ago. This is easy.
Yeah, repeats for a while until he gets healthy. And I guess he did a Facebook video, I believe, after the surgery. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think he looked pretty good. He was wearing a hat. But
is he going to look? The guy has looked the same for 40 years.
He had a heart attack or something, you know, not too long ago. Yeah, so, you know. Uh-huh. Well, hopefully we'll be okay. Brady, what is coming up on the Champaign Valley game night?
We'll talk about Dave Dombrowski, and then Chris Dury is going to join us, Plattsburgh baseball coach. We'll share some laughs, I think, about me playing against Plattsburgh back in the day, but then there's a serious topic at hand, a serious community event that they're going to need your help in. It's a story you're not going to want to miss.
All right, see Rich at the City Sports Grill at 7:30 for trivia, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have the UV game up for intern.
Nathan.
I always forget his name, but he's in one of my top 12 favorite interns of all time.
Yes, behind...
this semester. Do we have 12 interns?
Top 12.
No.
How many do we have?
Right now, like 4.
He's in my top 4. He's in my top 4, so any other interns we have to thank?
Not today.
Okay.
Just always Aaron.
For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champaign Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.